I'm so pumped up every time we do the clap. Like, I don't know why, like, I get so excited when we clap before
we start. West side. Oh, I did that wrong. I was going to go west side, like, but I crossed my first fingers. That shit across.
Like, you did the restroom sign.
Was that the restroom sign?
We used to have to do this when we're in, like, we have to go, because I think that's R. R and
sign language?
Sign language, yeah.
So, I know this is audio medium, so this, whatever you're listening right now, it's going to be hard to visualize. I know how to say, I'm telling, and that's what, thumb on the forehead, and wave like that, right? That's I'm telling. Thumb on the chin and waving down, that's dad. And if you cross your arms and like this, like your knuckles, that means make out. I only know that because when I was in middle school, I had a crush on a deaf girl, and I used to try to flirt with her all the time.
Really?
Yeah.
Did you ever date her?
No, we were like really good friends though.
That's good.
Yeah. And I think she's, I don't know, she's like religious, so she was like, but you know, we were kids, so.
Bless but, your heart.
Yeah, welcome back to. Bless your heart. Welcome back to Bella's a Murder. I am. I'm the queen bitch Scar from The Lion King, because she was a force.
I am a planet that has not been discovered yet. Welcome to the podcast.
Oh my god, I watch, so when I go to sleep, I usually put on YouTube videos of like this spooky shit, and I woke up to this documentary about like parallel universes. Like, you ever wake up at like 3 a.m. to go pee and you're like in like this weird mental haze, like you don't know really what's going on. Now imagine waking up to that and then waking up to being told that not only are you living in a parallel universe, but also you're part of a simulation.
Oh my god.
I was like, I don't need this right now.
Like what?
I don't need to hear this. I'm going back to bed. But yeah, welcome back to Bros of Murder. We give you true crime cases of color. We give you music. We give you
unsolicited opinions. I'm gonna give opinion. You that today.
And you get some attitude. And also, I'm drunk, so
I'm not drunk, I'm getting there. I've had a beer. I probably won't, you know. I mean, I guess, yeah, no, everything's fine.
Everything's great.
Oh, dude, are you okay? Did it go down the wrong hole? That's what she said.
It went down the wrong tube.
Okay. That's interesting.
I guess that's also what she could say.
Yeah.
Because what are holes but tubes, right?
I guess you're right. Cylinders.
Most holes lead to a tube of some kind.
Yeah, I guess so. Yeah, I guess you're right.
Yeah.
I don't know. Let us know. What do you think? Do holes lead to tubes?
Yeah, are all holes inherently tubes?
Yes, let us know in the comments.
Because a tube is like a long hole, we really think about.
A cylinder, yes.
Yeah.
Our shapes, cylinder.
Science. But yeah, so, you want to go first? Want me to go first?
I'll go first, yeah. I think you went first last time.
Yeah, and I know that like our two cases are kind of in the same...
Yes.
Sphere.
How do we do this?
Talking about shapes. I know, we're always in the same wavelength. I know you're doing a disappearance. I'm doing a disappearance. But I feel like mine's going to be a little
way
more angering
to ruin,
than
like,
yours.
The surprise.
Surprise? We're talking about disappearances.
Yeah. I just hurt.
Let's get into it.
Bet. So before we get into it, I wanted to give everyone an update.
You can't just say bet and then say and pause.
Bet. So, yeah. So my wife and I, we've been doing renovations to our house. To rent this out eventually, buy another house, and I want to let everyone know I'm a little bit of a handyman, if you know what I mean. Meaning I do a lot of my own DIY because fuck paying for someone else to do this shit that I could learn from YouTube or from a friend. That's how I learned. Who learned you to spoke?
Science.
Yes. So this next case makes me uncomfortable, and I think everyone knows why. It's because I am so uncomfortable about disappearances and unsolved like cases and crimes and things like that. I don't like them. It freaks me out. It's scary.
It is.
But this is one that I found actually watching Unsolved Mysteries on Netflix. If you haven't watched Unsolved Mysteries on Netflix, you should.
I cancel Netflix because their anime sucks and I run out of things to watch.
Yeah, we don't even watch that much. Why I still have it, I don't know. But this one is one that I found from there and did a little bit more research, and it's pretty intense. And this is about a person that went missing named Alonzo Brooks. So Alonzo, he was born in Topeka, Kansas, Maine, in some year that I didn't remember to write down, but he was born in Topeka, Kansas. I'm so sorry. He had a nickname of Zoe, and eventually he moved to a place called Gardner, Kansas, with his mother. You know, as a younger child, he was upset a lot because he wasn't able to go places with people that he was older with, like his siblings or some of his like cousins and stuff, because he was the youngest of five. And he lived
in Topeka, Kansas, which is also upsetting on its own.
Probably. But I think he had fun for a while. I know when I was a kid, I used to hate when I couldn't go places with like my older sister because it was all the older kids. There's a 4-year difference between my older sister and I. So instead of him getting mad about it and not getting to do anything, he took up karate, and he was a pretty badass. He was a badass when it came to karate from what I watched and stuff. And for him being the youngest, he was a mama's boy. I'm not the youngest, but like I am also a mama's boy, so that's something we have in common. And apparently, like, he was a really like shy kid, but he was also super easy to get along with because he was just nice to people. He was very polite with people. He had his favorite color was red. Not only that, he was a little bit of a neat freak, so maybe that kind of turned some people off, but he was nice, and he was really good at football. And he was known by his friends like as a good football player, which he didn't ever go like pro or anything, but you know, he was good at football. He liked to play football. So that's like just a little bit of information on who Zoe was, because I love to talk about the people before I get into like what happened to them. So April 4th of 2004, he went out with his friends. He went to a party, which was unlike him because he never liked to party really. He was just more of a homebody, or like one of those little kickback things where you just hang out with a bunch of friends and like drink a little bit.
Yeah.
He agreed to go to a party with his friend Justin, and they all ended up, him and other people ended up meeting at this house, and it was more of like a spur of the moment kind of thing. So nothing was super planned. But prior to actually going to the party, his friend Justin noticed that he was wearing boots and they were tied super tight. And that was because his ankle was like hurt a week prior to this like party. And this is important to remember for later. So he rode with Justin to this park, and it was a good old country party, you know. It was in a small town called Lacing, and this town was so small that it only had a sheriff. And at the time, the house was supposedly an empty house, so it was like a rental property, or like they rented it for like a party or something, but it was just really weird, and it was also like an hour away from where he lived. Again, it was in a small town of Kansas. Like, it had one grocery, no really grocery store, and like there was a gas station. So when they first like arrived to the party, the first thing like Alonzo said to everyone was like, who wants a beer? Like, he's trying to turn up. He's like, let's fucking have some fun.
He getting ready to go. Yeah.
And his friend stated that he seemed like a lot more outgoing that night from jump, like from rip, like,
I get it, you're from California.
Yeah, from Rip Bro, like he seemed a lot more outgoing, but he was usually more reserved. They were having a good time, and he eventually had like an altercation with someone at the party. Some of the people at the party, no surprise, were racist, because it was apparent since he was the only black person at the party.
Been there.
I know. He also like received like some racial slurs like thrown at him, but
also been there.
Yeah, he was the kind of person though that when that happened, he's like, I don't fucking care, dude. Like, who cares? And like, I'm at that point too. Like, okay, I get it. Like, you sound ignorant as shit, but I could be Tyrone Bigsby too. Like, if you want me to, but I don't know how that's gonna work out. But whatever. So. While they're at the party, some of the friends ended up leaving and go to a different party, but he and Justin ended up staying, and eventually they both ran out of cigarettes, so Justin goes and grabs, like, he's like, oh, I'm gonna go and buy more smokes, like, more cigarettes, which, even though there's no fucking gas station in the area, like, he's gonna go do that, and on the way to get more cigarettes, he gets lost, Justin gets lost. So Justin called someone named Adam to give him Alonzo a ride home and was like, hey, just take him home. But the thing is, the next day, like, Alonzo never like went home. And they know this. We know this because like his mom got a phone call from like a friend asking if Alonzo made it home from the party, and he never did. They pretty much like started to panic because he always apparently came home, and so everyone, all of his friends, you know, got together and tried to look for this dude and tried to find out what happened. There's a lot of friends that got together and went to the town of Gardner to like meet up and drove to where the party was, and they ended up just following Justin because Justin was the only person that knew where this house was. Really, on the way there, they discover something super disturbing. They discover Zoe's boots and hat on the highway.
Oh shit.
Like spread out from each other. And while they were like searching the area, looking at the area, like a person on a four-wheeler drove up and told them like they need to leave. But they also stated like they thought that there was like really weird stuff going on. Like they just felt like a lot of weird tension. So immediately the eye shifted to Justin. But Justin was like, hey, he was having a good time and he was fine when I left, but everyone was like, why the fuck would you leave him alone? Why would you leave him alone at a party where he knows no one? That's like an hour away. Like, you don't do that. Don't.
Hour away?
It was an hour away from his home, yeah.
Oh, no.
He's the only black person in a white rural town that is racist. No. Don't leave your friends. If you go out with people, I know I should wait until the end to say this, but don't leave your friends. Stay with your friends. Insist. If you don't want to stay,
yeah, I'm always like the dad at the group. So I'm always like, even I could be like blackout drunk, but the people I came with, I'm always like, you good? Everyone good? Everyone check in.
Right. And that's how I can be sometime, unless I'm drinking, then like I just laugh a lot.
I got the squad check on deck.
Yeah. No. Unless I'm designated, like if I'm designated, I'm like such a dick about it. I'm just like, no, we're fucking leaving. Let's go. Andre, pour your sex on the beach out. We're leaving. Get in this car.
No, I'll just,
right
I'm
now.
I'm not pouring it out.
get your feet off. Andre, get your feet off. I don't know. I'm just going through scenarios. I don't know what your feet would be on, but yeah. So yeah, law enforcement really didn't do anything at the moment. They said that there's a 48-hour rule to rule out that he wasn't a runaway, to make sure that he was really missing. Kept saying, oh, he's going to turn up. But like he was walking around in a place that he didn't know without shoes on, and it was like raining when he went missing. Like, who the fuck would do that? Even if you are drunk, like, no, I've never done that, so I can't say. Yeah, but whatever. So, like, the police, the law enforcement, they just made it seem like he just walked home. But remember what I said about his ankle? Yeah, his ankle was hurt, and they expected him to walk home without his boots on. And, you know, I'm just calling horseshit, but whatever.
Yeah.
So, eventually, the KBI, which is the Kansas Bureau of Investigation, they get involved. And they're looking at it as a possible, like, he's a possible victim of a hate crime. There are no signs of him. It had been 3 weeks with no updates, and, like, there is nothing. So after about a month of waiting, the family gets super tired, and family and friends, they end up doing their own search party. And while they're out doing the search party near like the place that he went missing, they notice a white shed, and they're like, okay, yeah, we need to go to search that shed because it's just in the middle of this area. But on the way to the shed, Alonzo's body was found.
Oh, shit.
And this was May 1st, 2004, a month later. So, yeah, he was missing, but he was eventually found.
Did he know, like, how long he was dead? Like,
no. It's really creepy because this is where the KBI and the FBI and the media get involved. And what happened there, the coroner, and the way that they found him on like this riverbank where like he would have been submerged in water.
There's so many weird parallels between our cases. It's kind of crazy.
Yeah. He was found there near water, like where they thought he was, like, you know. But the coroner found, like, no signs of foul play. There was no broken bones, nothing. So they labeled it as an undetermined death. The FBI think it was a hate crime. So all the eyes turned to the KBI and the local law enforcement because, like, they're like, okay, there's something going on here. And the reason why was because his boots and hat, Zoe's boots and hats, were found, like, extremely far from where Alonzo was found.
Yeah.
And how could it be that after 30 minutes of looking, the family and friends were able to find the body when the KBI wasn't able to do that if they did a search?
I'm thinking he was dumped.
They think, yeah, the body was placed after the local law enforcement did a search. But when they found him, though, this is where it gets crazy, because when they found him, the body didn't look like it had signs of he was in water for over a month. Like, everything on him was still intact. And this includes, like, the contents in his pockets. Like, he had paper with, like, handwritten notes on them that still had, like, the ink on it and stuff. Like, everything was, like, completely fine. It was, like, fucking crazy. The family think, like, they think that he was probably kept in, like, some type of meat locker because the body looked pristine. Apparently, his uncle made a comment saying, like, when we saw him, he still had skin color. He looked like fresh. Like, he didn't look.
Oh, I got chills. Okay, I think what happened, here's my theory. He was picked up on the side of the road, like, forcefully, and that's why his boots and, like, hat and shit came off. Taken somewhere, killed, and, like, shoved in, like, a cooler. And then they waited to, like, dump his body, because, like, for the heat to die down a little bit. Then dumped him off in the woods.
Isn't that crazy? Like, I don't know. Like, I went to Reddit and, like, started to, like, read about it. There's stuff about it on Reddit. And, like, they're, like, a shit ton of different, like, theories. Like, including being set up by friends, them running away from the party, the whole town of Gardner knows what happened to him, but no one wants to say anything. But one thing that actually stood up as, like, possible was, like, there is a possibility that he was there and there was some white girl that he, like, liked, and, like, people there didn't like it.
But tells, like, all the time.
Right? And then also, like, his friends think that he was just jumped and that he probably fought for his life before, like, he was actually, like, killed. And, like, but again, because the body had been sitting so long, or, like, it was just really weird. Everything just looked good on
aged
him. Justin, the friend, he feels like it's his fault, and, like, he, in the actual episode, like, he was very remorseful because everyone had nothing but good things to say about this, about him, about Zoe. And my last thing about it was, March of last year, the KBI stated, which I'm pretty much just going to sum it up, that there is no evidence that Alonzo was a victim of a hate crime. So the case is closing, and that's it. They closed the case and they're not looking into it anymore.
Well,
the family is still like trying to figure out what's going on. Like, they're still
something fishy fucking went down.
Yeah. It's fucking creepy, dude.
I'm leaning to the theory that he got jumped on the fucking highway, fought back, was, like, killed and taken to store somewhere.
I feel like it could have been, like, an interracial thing, just because, like, I know Melinda and I were in an interracial, like, marriage, and, like, we have had, like, comments and, like, stares And
it is a sin, so you know.
Yeah, it is. It's an abomination.
If you don't read the Bible.
Abomination, people.
Sorry to tell you, but you are
gone. That's my case.
Well, again, like I said, there's some weird parallels to like my case, and I'm curious to see what your theory would be after hearing mine, because mine is about Matrice Richardson. So I'll go into her backstory a little bit. So now Matrice was a young daughter of Latrice Staten and Michael Richardson. She was raised by her mother and stepfather, Larry Sutton, in California, IA, over where you're at. In Covina, do you know where that's at?
I do know where Covina is.
What part of California?
I don't know. I'm just kidding. I don't know. Okay. I think it's like Southern California.
Without the ones like you who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HourEnergy.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HourEnergy.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
California, though.
Okay.
It's either Southern or, like, Central. I'm from like Central, but I think everything where I'm at down is
Southern.
Yeah.
Okay. So now she obtained her bachelor's arts degree in psychology in 2008 from California State University. And then, she did it after graduating from South Hills High in West Covina, California. Does that sound familiar to you?
I know Covina sounds familiar to me.
Okay. So now Richardson was also an open lesbian, and at the time of her death had been dating a woman named Tessa Moon for about 2 years. And she had also competed in like beauty pageants and contestants like that. Like, she's kind of like your all-American SoCal girl. So now on the evening of September 16th, 2009, Richardson entered a parking lot of a restaurant in Malibu. And due to staff and patrons of the restaurant described her as being like really bizarre, and her behavior being weird and stuff like that. And the fact that she also was unable to pay her dinner bill, which was like $89, the people at the restaurant called the cops on her. So now police show up and start asking her, like, what's your deal? They made sure they did like a field sobriety test to make sure that she was sober, which she was. They determined that she was not intoxicated or under any influence of any type of substance, but she was still arrested on charges of suspicion of not paying for a meal. I didn't know that was a thing you could get charged with, but
maybe it's like if you like dine and dash, which is so much fun. I've seen it happen, but like
I'm too nervous to do it. Yeah,
I know, me too. Like, I feel bad because like they don't make much money either.
Yeah,
like, so I don't want their table to.
But apparently she was having issues paying, so she got charged on suspicion of not, like, because she didn't flee, she was still there, but to telling people that I don't have the $89. Yeah. And then also just kind of acting in a really bizarre way. And then she also was arrested for having a possession of less than an ounce of marijuana too.
It's fucking weed. Can we legalize it already? Like,
so now, according to arresting officers, upon her arrest, her phone, purse, and money were secured in her car, and her car was towed to the Pacific Coast Highway. So now Richardson was detained and booked at Malibu Lost Hills Sheriff Station, approximately like 10 miles or 16 kilometers for you non-Americans.
Why can't it just be the same?
I know, in Malibu County. Now, although Richardson's mother informed the station, well, like she called her mom, obviously, and her mom told the station that she's worried about her daughter's mental health because she has a bipolar disorder. And despite promises from the station's personnel that she would not be released, like, they were like, we're going to release her in the morning. They were telling her, like, hey, we're going to be fine. She's getting to hell for the night. We'll release her. Now, Richardson was released that morning, well, afternoon at 12:28 a.m. with no belongings, no means to call for assistance. And Stephen Whitmore, of the spokesman of L.A. County Sheriff's Department, said that she was released from jail and exhibited no signs of, you know, mental instability or intoxication. Like, she seemed fine when she left. He said verbatim, she was fine. She's an adult. Like, we just let her go. Now, several hours later, at 6:30 a.m. the next day, she was seen in the backyard of a former news anchor, like, just wandering around aimlessly.
At a news anchor's house?
Yeah. Bill Smith was his name. Very generic news anchor name. And, like, he opened his window, you know, and said, hey.
What,
like,
really happened in Covina this... God, fuck. I'm just kidding. Sorry. Like,
he opened the window and was like, hey, like, you good? You need help? And she said, yeah, I'm just resting. Give me a second. I'll leave. And he was like, okay. And then went back inside and called the police. Now, and this is like, on, like, this is after she was released from the prison. She never made it home.
That's really weird because Covina's, it's like, I'm pretty sure it's LA.
So it's like a city area.
Yeah, like, so Covina, yeah. I'm pretty sure it's LA. I'm like, yeah. Hands down. But that's Covina, I know where that is.
Yeah, so when all that happened, she never returned home. She wasn't found, no one's seen her. So she was reported missing shortly after by her family. Now, on January 9th, 2010, 4 months after she was reported missing, the Los Angeles County Sheriff's Department conducted one of the largest scale searches, like, in the history of the department at that time. Over 300 volunteers trained in search and rescue operations participated in, like, the 18 square mile or 47 kilometers search of the area of Malibu, like, the canyon there.
Yeah.
A deep canyon there.
It's like Covina is like right outside of like LA, but in between, like, I think like San Bernardino or something like that. So there's like mountains in that area.
All right. So yeah, so they checked that whole like Malibu Canyon area. And the search included both air and ground searches of creeks, trails, and ridges. And Richardson was not found during that first. Now, Maurice, almost because their names are kind of spelled similar. Maurice Doughboy, father of a slain teenager, Amber Doughboy, assisted the Richardson's family in the 2-day search, kind of just out of sympathy because he also lost a daughter. So he was like, I want someone else. I know how it feels. I'm going to help this family and be there for them. And on June 5th and June 6th, he went out there to help them out in the Montonado area of Malibu Canyon. Over 100 more private citizens and volunteers came out and participated in another search of the area. So now, although Richardson's remains were not discovered, searches made, like, they found racially motivated, like, racist shit spray painted throughout the canyons. Like,
what?
Offensive graffiti, like, sexual shit, just, like, really fucked up shit, like, fresh shit in this canyon.
What year was this?
2010.
Okay, I'm just gonna throw this out there. California is low-key racist.
I've heard stories.
Yeah, like, because growing up, being, like, born and raised there, I will say California is low-key racist, but they smile in their face when they're doing it.
Yeah, so now as they're, like, combing through the area, they see all this, like, racist, fucked up shit spray painted in the canyons. The graffiti was freshly painted, and there's still paint cans and brushes, like, laying around as evidence of the scene, so they knew that it wasn't, like, there for a while. Like, this was fresh shit. Now, the creek bed in Malibu Canyon was where Richardson's naked, mummified remains were eventually discovered, next to a 21-acre, like, field ranch.
Mummified?
Mummified.
Bitch.
Like, she was there for a minute. And it was found next to this ranch that was known for porn production. And I also want to add that her underwear was found, like, away from her body.
But she was mummified.
She was mummified, but her underwear was still there, like, also, like, obviously decayed a little bit or, like, fucked up, but it was clearly her underwear.
What?
That was there near her body, like, off of her. So it was a very secluded and, like, it was near, like, a secluded and, like, distant, like, creek bed, like, kind of like a fucking hottie spot. Is that your dog?
No, it's my cat. I'm sorry, everyone, if you could hear my cat eating. We have a feeder, like a tree, they have to reach into to pull it down, because one of my cats, she's so fucking fat,
yeah.
And, like, she throws up her food, and, like, we have to feed her this way, but she's learned how to, like, just fucking, boom, knock it down so she could get all the food that she wants. Sorry.
Yeah. So back to it. So now her body was discovered, and the detectives on the case removed her body against the orders of the coroner. Like, when they reported it up, the coroner said, leave her there. Don't touch her. But the officers on the scene did it anyway. Disturbed her body. Yeah. So now,
clean this off really quick.
After they started like interviewing the area, and the residents reportedly heard screams in that area several nights after her initial disappearance. Her death was deemed not to be a homicide, and they said there was no foul play. Which, tell me how there's no foul play when a woman who's released from police custody is found dead, mummified, with no underwear on, in a creek bed.
How long?
They
didn't say how long she had gone missing, from where she went missing to when they found.
Oh, no, she was missing for months.
I don't think that a body, if we think about it like with science. If we think about science and like decomposition, I don't think that it would mummify within months, especially if there's no like, if there's nothing added to the body to keep or to like dehydrate it.
I'm saying mummify is more of like an adjective. Like, it was a very decayed body.
Okay. I thought I was like a dry body. That's what I thought of it as.
It's like a very decayed, decrepit body, okay, exposed to the elements over, and it's hot, okay. You know?
Yeah.
So now the Richardson's family had filed several lawsuits against the Los Angeles, you know, Sheriff's Department for releasing her from jail, even though they claim she wasn't experiencing any type of, like, they say she was lucid. And the family are saying she had severe bipolar disorder. We told you that before you released her. Like, we said, hey, let us know when you're going to release her because we're worried about her mental health. And they didn't do that. And in 2011, her parents, who had sued separately, were awarded $450,000 each. So obviously there's some validity to that. Now, the girlfriend, Tess Moon, refuses claims that she had any type of mental illness. They said that she never showed signs of a mental illness or told her anything, blah, blah, blah. But it's like, y'all was dating for 2 years. You don't know, you're not going to know her full extent of her mental health, especially if she like doesn't disclose it. Because not everyone's going to disclose that they have a certain type of mental illnesses. But, you know, you're like, you didn't need to add that in. You don't need to tell me about that. So now the Richardson's family also asked the California Attorney General's office to review the sheriff's office handling of the case. In November 2015, after reviewing 500 pages of documents sent with the request, the Office of California, like the Attorney General, who was Kamala Harris at the time.
Interesting.
Everyone has feelings about her. But she replied that it had not.
She ain't that black. Sorry.
She replied that they had not found any grounds of criminal charges against the Sheriff's Department. The Attorney General's office also found no evidence that the Sheriff's Office had mishandled the Richardson's family's complaint against them. Like, they just said they didn't do anything wrong. However, in January 2016, the California General's Attorney's Office backtracked itself and announced it was beginning a criminal investigation on the case. Fast forward to December 30th, 2016, the California Attorney General's Office concluded that there was insufficient evidence to support criminal processes. And maybe because like it's been 6 years at that point.
Yeah.
So any evidence that there could have been has probably been like been destroyed.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's the fucked up case of Matrice Richardson.
What
do you think happened?
I think she was murdered, and I think like she was probably taken. Maybe, okay, if she was off of medication or she wasn't on her meds or whatever, that was super redundant. So she was off her medication and she may have not been in the right mind depending on like the type of medication that she was taking. Maybe she was like just snatched up or just knocked out, or when she got the cops called on her about like being in that reporter's house or whatever, if she fled and then just ran into someone like, oh, why are you running? Because I was doing this, and like gave her a nice wallop on her head and took her up to the mountains and like had their way and like left her. But I don't know, because if they did a search, an 18 mile radius search, I don't know how far that is from where she was last seen, but I don't know. 18 mile radius from where? The middle of West Covina? Or
I saw one theory that I thought was crazy. It was like, all right, it was another theory on Reddit that she was like, you know, wandering around kind of in a daze, came across that fucking porn ranch, and something happened to her there, and then they dumped her body. Like, when a search started concluding, they kind of waited for the heat to die down, then dumped her body when they thought it was safe in the canyon.
Yeah. That's pretty scary, though. Like, I don't like that.
No, it's terrifying. And, like, there's just no answers to what the fuck happened. I think, all right, if you arrested somebody, you're going to release them, and their family is like, hey, they're not going to be in the right state of mind. They're not in the right state of mind. Just let us know when you're releasing them so we can pick them up. Like, don't just let them walk off by themselves. The least you can do is give a phone call to the family and let them know that, hey, we're about to release your daughter. Come pick her up.
Yeah.
Why would you let anyone just wander off? Like, give them a phone call for a ride. What the fuck?
Yeah. It's, I guess they don't give a fuck, dude.
Because they released her with no way for her to call someone for a ride.
Yeah.
Which is why she just started walking.
And if it was hot in like Southern California, like it gets brutal, dude.
Dehydration can make you delirious.
Yo. And it can make you super irritable.
And that can make like sense of why she just like walked into that dude's backyard and was like, hey, I'm just resting. I need a break.
Like, chill the fuck out, dude. Like, no one's gonna take your nice like property from you. Like, it's hot as balls out here.
Well, that was my case. And I guess we were both on the same like disappearance wave thing.
Yeah.
Which like happens often.
It's really scary, too. I don't like that. Like, you just go missing, and then you're found dead.
If you go to sleep alive and wake up dead?
Yeah. If you even, like, get found?
Yeah, at that.
Like, yo, I share my location with my wife and, like, a couple other friends just in case something happens to me.
I don't, but I should start doing that more. I just, like, go places. People are like, hey, where you at? I'm like, mind your fucking business. But you know what? Maybe I should start telling people where I'm going.
Yeah. Maybe. Maybe not. If you don't want to be found, then don't get found.
I still do fantasize a lot about just like going off the grid one day. I'm going to do it one day. Anyway, that's all I got.
Well, that's all I have too.
Yeah, so hey, you know, check us out every Thursday on Get Focused on the Facebook page for that sweet, sweet live stream. If you want to donate to us, check out the links and go to Red Circle, donate to us. You want to subscribe for exclusive content, you can do that too. Give us a fucking review wherever you listen to. That'd be nice.
Yeah.
Even if it's negative. I'm a big boy. I can handle criticism.
I can. I'm
no, sensitive. I can't. No, I'm really sensitive too. But yeah. Hope you enjoy the music. That's all I got. Battle.
I hope you enjoy the music. I have nothing more but then to say enjoy the music. And thank you for listening today to our episode.
Yeah. So, bye.
See ya's.
And my laptop's on 11%. Hell yeah.
Have you ever fallen out of love? We hide and play dumb or change the station to push turns into shove. We get so clever at covering it up. Everyone knows our hearts in their holes, there's water in the boat. Bittersweet words dancing in my mouth, but I can't get them out. Truth is, I'm tired of lying to myself. I've been trying to figure out what went wrong. Oh, was it wrong all along? Truth is, I'm tired of lying
myself. I've been trying. You ain't the one. Our time is up. I'm moving on. Just me and you, a table for two, but we're not saying much. Baby, almost can never be enough. Thirsty for more, the wine that you pour is poison in my cup. Bittersweet words dancing in my mouth, but I can't get them out. Truth is, I'm tired of lying to myself. I've been trying to figure out what went wrong. Oh, was it wrong all along? Truth is, I'm tired of lying to myself. I've been trying. You ain't the one. Our time is up. I'm moving on. I'm tired of lying.
Tired of lying.
I've been trying. What went wrong? Oh, I said wrong all along. Truth is, I'm tired of lying.
Tired of lying.
I've been trying. I'm moving on. Truth is, I'm tired of lying to myself. I've been trying to figure out what went wrong. Oh, was it wrong all along? Truth is, I'm tired of lying to myself. I've been trying. You ain't the one. Our time is up. I'm moving on.